From the 1450 WHTC and WHTC.com newsroom, here's what's happening.
Good morning, good afternoon, and I should say 47 degrees in Holland at 1205. I'm Gary Stevens. This news brought to you by Marsilia Insurance. Gray afternoon, some breaks of the clouds later on, but it's going to get a little bit chilly. A look at Holland's hometown forecast. WHTC.com follows this news. Jim Leland made it official about a half hour ago.
It's time. It's time to step down from the managerial position of Detroit Tigers and accept another position yet to be determined.
With that, the eight-year reign of perhaps the third most successful manager in Detroit Tigers history ended. Leland won an even 700 games from 2006 through 2013, taking three straight American League Central titles and two American League pennants, but decided 6 weeks ago that he would leave the dugout, win or lose.
I don't feel it would be fair to this organization, to the players, to Mr. Ilitch, to the media, to the fans, or for anybody else for me to continue to go on. The fuel was starting to get low, and that's just the way it went.
Speculation about Leland's future had swirled around him for the past year.
We have said all along that my contract here would never be a distraction, and it hasn't been. And we went on to win the Central Division, and of course later on let a American League championship get away, to be honest with you, which I apologize for. I'm very sorry that we didn't get that done for you. But it wasn't because everybody wasn't on the same page and everybody didn't do their best.
That was in reference to Prince Fielder, roundly criticized for another poor postseason. Pundits say that bench coach Gene Lamont and hitting instructor Lloyd McClendon, both of whom have big league managerial experience following Leland's term in Pittsburgh, are the top internal candidates. Well, among those outside the organization that make consideration include former Tiger catcher Brad Ausmus. The Tigers hope to have their new skipper named shortly after the World Series ends, as Major League Baseball strongly discourages teams from making major moves during the Fall Classic after the Tigers' Washington-Denny McClain blockbuster trade overshadowed the 1971 World Series. A two-vehicle collision west of Jenison yesterday morning hospitalized the two drivers involved, according to Ottawa County Sheriff Sergeant Dean DeVries. A 55-year-old man was driving westbound on Pine Street south of Baldwin Street and west of 20th Avenue and was approaching Rose Lane Avenue.
Vehicle driven by David Deitch failed to yield for a vehicle driven by Tina Crouch.
Crouch's southbound vehicle apparently broadsided Zietz's vehicle, with the unbuckled Zietz taken to Spectrum Butterworth Hospital and initially listed in critical condition. Crouch, along with passenger Joshua Kevin and his four-year-old daughter Emma, were all wearing seatbelts. Crouch was taken to Spectrum Zeeland Community Hospital for observation. The Gebbins were unhurt. The crash remains under investigation. Holland Public Safety investigators should know more about the circumstances surrounding the death of a 54-year-old man following results of an autopsy slated for today. The body of the man, whose name wasn't immediately disclosed pending notification of family members, was found by a jogger on one of the groomed trails at the Van Royalty farm site on Saturday morning. Authorities don't believe the man was the victim of foul play, but have not ruled out suicide in the matter. Should the showers abate this afternoon, as predicted, crews from the Ottawa County Road Commission should finish installing two more stop signs at the intersection of 112th Avenue and Quincy Street on Holland's north side, making it a four-way stop. A number of crashes at that site, including six in the first 9 months of 2013 alone and a total of nine in the two previous years, led department officials to increase traffic control short of installing a signal. There have been no reports of any fatalities in these crashes. The cost could run as high as $1,000 for the new signs. Candidates for the three contested races in next month's Holland City Council election are slated to meet in chambers at Holland City Hall tonight for a League of Women Voters of the Holland Area Forum. Incumbents Nancy DeBoer, Brian Birch, and Todd Whiteman will discuss issues with challengers Donald Martin, Richard Burlingame, and Darlene DeWitt in the 90-minute session that begins at 7 p.m. The three incumbents skipped a previous forum 2 weeks ago, hosted by a number of minority activist groups for various reasons. And according to Mayor Kurt Dykstra, who along with incumbent Councilman Mike Tuthui is running unopposed, it's been a spirit campaign thus far.
People running campaigns, and campaigns entitle everything from yard signs to things being mailed to advertising in the newspaper. So I guess I don't find anything unusual about it in the sense that, you know, it's a campaign. The only unusual thing about it is the degree to which there are contested races in this particular cycle.
The LWV has a similar session tomorrow night in Saugatuck for that city council's races, as we are 2 weeks away from Election Day along the lakeshore and across the state. Police are looking for clues after the body of a black male was found yesterday afternoon in the Grand River in Grand Rapids. Fishermen made the grisly discovery southwest of the I-196 bridge near Millennium Park. Victim thought to have been in his 20s or 30s. No word on the identity of that victim. The State House will consider legislation that would continue a pilot program to try to stop drink driving.
State Representative Dan Lowers of Brockway says that Michigan sobriety courts have used a pilot ignition interlock program for 3 years that prevents those convicted of drunk driving from starting up their cars if they've recently been drinking. Lowers says the program has been very effective and should be continued.
The results have been pretty astounding, really. In the test group that was studied, there was only two people that didn't complete the course successfully compared to those who did not participate in ignition interlock systems. The numbers were more like a third of the people fall out of the program.
The bill from Lowers to continue the interlock program has been approved by the State House Judiciary Committee and is now pending before the full House. Andrew Green reporting.
As the president addressed the website problems with the implementation of the Affordable Care Act of the past half hour or so, there is some agreement on both sides of the aisle about the matter. Fred Upton said that this is so pathetic, as the St. Joseph Republican has scheduled a Thursday hearing of the House Energy and Commerce Committee that he chairs to investigate this issue more closely.
This is just outrageous. It really is. And for them to say everything was going to be fine, it's going to work just great, and nothing could be more wrong.
Doug Zylstra, chairman of the Ottawa County Democratic Party, agrees that these problems are a big disappointment.
A lot of these things are short-term, and it's not to discount the fact that the website is not working well, because it's not. But I think if you look at fundamental issues, are people going to get enrolled? Are the people who are getting enrolled getting affordable care? Yes, they are.
Two members of the Michigan Supreme Court are pushing for clarity when individuals come before the bench.
Chief Justice Robert Young says the court is establishing a limited English proficiency rule to provide those who come before the courts that do not speak English a better way to interact with the justice system.
All of the courts are now authorized and must appoint English translators for people who need them. And for the first time, the courts are now also authorized to have the costs for those services charged to the parties at the end of the proceeding if the parties can afford to pay for them.
Justice Bridget McCormick says it's not just for the benefit of the courts.
Domestic violence victims seeking protection from the court, personal protection orders, have been asked to bring with them their abusive spouse to translate for them. Or in child custody cases, they've been asked to have their children translate for them. Those particular stories were unacceptable to us.
Courts across the state have a 90-day window to present their plans on how to implement the idea.
Sam Harold, WHTC News.
Despite three touchdown passes from Matthew Stafford, the Lions fell to visiting Cincinnati yesterday, 27-24.
Yeah, you always want to win, especially at home. And tough not to, but, you know, guys got to learn from this one and bounce back, and we'll be ready to go next week.
Detroit hosts Dallas next Sunday with coverage on 1450 WHTC at 12 noon. Mark Trestman's Chicago Bears came out on the short end of a 45-41 loss at Washington yesterday.
It's tough to go on the road, and but at the end of the day, it's a 60-minute game, and our guys played all 60 minutes, and I'm proud of them for that.
Chicago's off until November 4th when it plays the Packers at Green Bay in a game that is slated to air on 1450 WHTC at 8 p.m. Monday Night Football at 8 p.m. on Holland's hometown station this evening finds Minnesota playing the New York Giants in the New Jersey Meadowlands. Josh Freeman gets his first start for the Vikings since he was waived out of Tampa Bay.
To be honest, 1 week of practice with guys, it's hard to really develop the kind of chemistry you'd like to have midway through a season. But to compensate for that, guys have kind of taken it on themselves to, you know, really spend time with me.
The Red Wings welcome the San Jose Sharks to Joe Louis Arena this evening. Henrik Zetterberg in Detroit allowed 5 goals in the third period on Saturday night and losing at Phoenix 5-2.
We wanted to finish off this little trip good. We came out, had a really good start, and then we couldn't really keep it together for 60 minutes.
Next Red Wings broadcast on 1450 WHTC is Wednesday night at 7:10 from Joe Louis Arena when the Wings host the Ottawa Senators.
Time now is 12:16. Time to take a look at Holland's hometown forecast from WHTC.com. And kind of chilly out there. Cloudy skies giving way to some sunshine later on. A couple of raindrops, a couple of snowflakes flying around, and temperatures holding now in the mid-40s the rest of the afternoon. Overnight tonight, partly cloudy, low 39. Showers possible again tomorrow afternoon after some morning sunshine. High tomorrow, 48. It's not too bad, but turning a little colder and a little wetter again on Wednesday. A mix of rain and that four-letter word snow in there as well. Kind of a mixed bag on Wednesday with a high near 45. Right now, we are down to 45 in Zeeland and also in downtown Holland. Get continuous news, sports, and weather. Check it out anytime on Holland's homepage, WHTC.com.